There must be a trick in here. Olivia is a young art student at RTHS. She is talented in art and has decided to pursue oil painting on canvas. For some reason, she decided to paint a piece for the area's high school art competition, where students from other schools show off their talents and exhibit their art. Don't forget that school is not like a job where you are given time to complete a task. Their day is all broken up into a myriad of subjects, not devoting very much time to any one thing. So sometimes at school, things are hard to get done compared to like at your job where they give you all day to get one thing done. Depends on where you work. Sometimes they don't even give you a job. You just go in and don't do anything. But that's not always like that. But not having much time at school, maybe that's why I hated school so much. I didn't really have time to like it. I don't think that's why, but it could be. Like some of us, or some of us, like the kids at school, think we have plenty of time to get our things done. Even when we get old and get out of school, we're going to have a lot of time. Don't we think that? We have plenty of time. And then when you go to start doing it, everything took twice as long as you thought. Well, Mrs. Mock, Olivia's art teacher, reviewed with her, Olivia, her plan to complete her painting since she was a student at the school. So Olivia began working on her project. As the competition date was nearing, Olivia started to freak out. Can you imagine that? Mrs. Mock, she said, there is no way I can get this done. This paint just doesn't dry fast enough. You see, oil painting is a stepped process, starting with sketching, and then underpainting, and then after that, you start your shapes and develop them and get into some details, and each step has to be dry to continue. Mrs. Mock explained to Olivia, some things don't do well when you try to hurry through. She was able to calm Olivia down and focus on the art and not worry about the deadline of the art show. Sometimes are we impatient too, in our own way? Well, we're doing a broken up series about different characteristics that we should show in our personalities. That's what we're doing for the few months, May, June. In response to what should we do or be like, or how should we act, in a sermon that we had a few weeks ago, what kind of people should we be? Before Mother's Day last week, it was about humility, making ourselves low, and how we should be putting others ahead of us, following the example of Christ. Actually, all of these subjects are things taught by Christ and his apostles. So I kind of think they're the basic things that when we read the Bible, this is kind of what we should come away with. Yeah, there are other things in there, but this is really what we should be coming away with, what Christ taught and what the apostles taught, or his disciples. And these characteristics that we're covering, I believe, are the keys to unlocking the Spirit of God. I know sometimes that people talk about the Spirit and the mystery of the Spirit of God. I think that these characteristics are the keys that unlock the Spirit of God to be active in our own lives. Let's notice Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained an introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. We're supposed to be happy when we're being tribulated? Isn't that like persecuted or tempted or hard times? Yeah, we're supposed to be happy then. We're supposed to exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance brings proven character. We're talking about characteristics of how our lives should look to others around us and those kinds of things. Proven character brings hope. And hope does not disappoint because the glory or the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given to us. So I really think that these characteristics are the keys that unlock the Spirit of God in our lives. And we need these in order to receive his Spirit. Proven character brings us hope. I believe that God pays more attention to those that pay attention to him. I believe that these characters or characteristics that we should show and exhibit and use in our everyday lives are stepping stones that lead us closer to God. So like in our class this morning, we were talking about solitude. That was the topic in the lesson that we were going over, and how sometimes getting away brings us closer to God. That's how we can get closer to God, by being alone and focusing on God. All these characteristics all are stepping stones that lead us closer to God. Our first two were humility and patience. Well, patience is today. Humility we did 2 weeks ago, with more to follow. So I want to look at patience, which is today's, in three different ways, maybe four. I couldn't decide whether it was three or four. First is realizing that God is patient. Maybe my favorite verse for this subject of patience is found in 2 Peter 3, which is right in the middle of another one of my favorite places where the three heavens and the three earths are described in 2 Peter 3. That's where the three heavens and three earths are described. But right in the middle of that, these verses are in there talking about patience. Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like one day. That's kind of hard to think about just by itself, isn't it? If you mix up a day and 1,000 years, which one's which? The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. We have to remember that God's timeline is nothing we can imagine. So as we read about things about God and things he offers and promises, we have to first of all remember and realize that his time's not like our time. Our time is measured by the day we die, really. There's a clock, yes, and there's a bell at the end of school, yes, but we're in a race to not get to that day we die. Everything we do is trying to prevent that or get things done before that. So our time and God's time, he lives on forever and ever. He doesn't have that problem of finality, and we do. So we need to realize that his time is not like ours, like verse 8 pointed out in that reading. But God is waiting for all to repent. He is patient. He would prefer that all people choose his way. And as Connie points out sometimes, it's still a choice. It's a choice we have to do. And it appears that, as I see in my world, not all are choosing him, at least from what I see. I can't always judge what people are thinking or doing, but sometimes the evidence is pretty strong where they're not really choosing God for those people around us. So God is patient for us. That's one point that I wanted to make. Another aspect of patience is in relation to God himself. While he waits on us, we are also waiting for him. Remember the story of Job. Does anybody remember the story of Job? way back in Job, the book. It's like one of the oldest recorded writings of the Old Testament. Job and Genesis were right at the very first books written. So like Abraham and Job were probably contemporary, I want to say. They might not have been, but I think they could have been. And when Job had all of his troubles, what did he do? The first thing did he do? He sat on the ground with his friends around him. I think they were sitting crisscross, but I'm not positive. I was going to say Indian style, but I didn't think I could. So they were sitting there for 7 days without saying a word. That's pretty long. They were probably hungry by the time they were going to talk. But like we had in our lesson, maybe he needed some time alone to try to figure out what's going on in my life. But he sat on the ground for 7 days without saying a word. And then you get the story of Job and his patience. So that's how he relates to the patience. When people talk about patience, I always speak of Job. Isaiah, the messianic prophet, wrote this about our patience with God. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Yet those who wait on the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with eagle's wings. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Hey, who's in track here? Michael's in track. Elijah's in track, but he's not here. And I've watched him run before, and boy, he gets tired. But the promise from God is those who wait on the Lord will not get tired. He gives us strength by waiting or being patient with what he has to offer us or what he has to give to us. Those that have patience for God are promised strength and renewal. And I think that some of that patience that's described is the knowledge of his promise and how much we can attain them. That was kind of a thick sentence, so I'm going to say it again. I think that the patience, or the sum of that patience, is the knowledge of his promises and how we can attain them. He has the promise of strength and renewal. Well, how does that really look? Is it I'm running and now I'm not going to be tired, or is it about something else? So we really have to think about what God's promises are, when he promises them, and try to understand his word and understand his plan, knowing that his time is not like our time. Psalm 27, 14 is another, how'd that happen? Another verse that is pretty good on telling us how to wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait on the Lord. Does patience have to do with waiting only? My next point is, how should we relate patience to each other in the setting of the church? There are some verses that are very specific speaking about that subject, how our patience should be with those that are like us, or how we should be treating each other in this church. The Bible indicates that we should have a more special relationship with those who are also baptized compared to those who are not. There is evidence in the Bible that shows a little bit of difference between the body of Christ and the world, or sometimes a lot of difference. Some people have a hard time with that we should be the same with everybody, but the Bible shows that Christians need to act a certain way toward each other. And Colossians 3, 12 through 14 is one of those places. So as for those who have been chosen of God, which are baptized people, holy and beloved, have put on a heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility and patience, even if I didn't read them in the right order. My mind did. It's funny how my eyes could recognize something that my mind is telling me something different. But if we're going to put that on, that's not something that's natural. That's something that we have to put on. So we're not naturally patient or humble or gentle or patient. I know that we have a grandson that's like this old. He's getting bigger, so I really don't. He weighs almost as much as Elliot, and he's not even 5 months old. And I'm telling you what, we watched him the other day on Thursday, and he can scream in a higher pitch than one of those squeak toys. And he can change from a smile to a squeak toy scream in like less than 2 seconds. I'm completely happy and satisfied, and then I can't make the noise. It's so loud and ear-piercing. My ears are still ringing. Yeah, you probably can. But that kid's not naturally patient, that's my point. It's something we have to put on. Patience, humility, all those things, gentleness, are things that we learn and how we practice and practice and practice whenever we learn anything. That, like a doctor practices, that's why they call it a doctor practice. Every time you go in, he's practicing on you. Ooh, maybe I don't want to go anymore. But that's what it is. You have to practice to be good at anything. So these things aren't natural. They're things that we put on. In verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you must do also. It's not a suggestion. It's something we must do. In addition to all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That's Colossians 3:12-14. Patience is one of those qualities we need to have with each other in the church. Patience with each other. Well, what does that mean? Well, maybe I don't like somebody's idea as much as my own idea. What am I going to do about it? That's where patience comes in. If it does not exist, there will be no unity. And I think humility and patience are required in order for a church group to grow in any way, whether it's in numbers or spiritually. You have to have patience and unity. They're required. I think without it, you cannot grow. In the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, you might have known that as I was saying the famous love chapter, love is defined throughout its 13 verses. Verse 4 starts out with, love is patient. So for true love, patience is a requirement. Another scripture showing the importance of these foundational characteristics, I say they're foundational, to show in ourselves how we should build ourselves. You need a foundation to build from, and these are the things we're talking about. Ephesians 4:1-3 is my next set of verses, and it says, therefore I, and Paul wrote this to the people at Ephesus, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, he's claiming that he's a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. So in order to say that we love each other, we have to have patience for each other, and also humility. Being diligent, in verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Peace is another thing that should fall into that same category. Ephesians 4:1-3. Do any of these things describe you? Agitated. Loud. Troubled. Or violent. How about wild? or frustrated or intolerant or unwilling. These are words that thesaurus.com gives for the opposite of patience, or to be patient. So these are things that we ought to be resisting. Doesn't mean we're going to automatically be perfect in all things. It's something we have to resist and keep resisting if it's a problem for us or plaguing us in our walk with the way we should be walking. Walking our talk, talking our walk, walking our talk. They should match. What we say should be what we do. What we do should be what we say. So we should be resisting those kinds of things as we shape our stone to look like Christ's stone. And when I say our stone, I'm referring to the verse like this one in Ephesians 4:16. It says, 5 and 6, 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. So we need to admit that Christ is the head of the church. Remember, we're talking about how patience works in the church with each other here. We have to admit that Christ is the head of all that, and from whom the whole body being fitted together is held by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. And it causes the growth of the body for the building up of one's or itself in love. Talking about the church. The church can grow, but you have to have these things for each other and make our lives patterned after his. So if these are characteristics that he had, they're characteristics that we need. So it's talking about the need for each member or stone to do its part to fit into Christ's church. It's not the church fitting around us, it's us fitting into the church. Some people will establish a new church because they don't want to fit into Christ's church. They want to fit into their own church and call it church. Ephesians 2:21 is very similar with describing the holy temple as being made up of believers fitted together. That's what the church is, the group of believers fitted together. Having patience for the rest of the world is the last aspect for patience in this message for this morning. For those outside the church, how should those people be treated? Is there a difference? Are outsiders to be treated the same as church people? Well, on this subject, you can get a mixed message from the Bible. How do you like that? Ranging from Luke 10's story of the 70 Jesus sent out ahead of him to Paul's first letter to Timothy in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, and we're going to start there. The second will be first. How do you like that? That's humble, right? 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16 says, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, from whom I am foremost of all." Or this is Paul saying, "I'm the worst sinner of them all, and he came for me. Yet for this reason I found mercy, that so that in me as the foremost Jesus might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life." So it points to the fact that you need to believe in Jesus for eternal life, but he had perfect patience to bring those people in, which everyone was a sinner. So Jesus' patience was good for everyone, not just the church, but he is the head of the church. These verses are showing the love of Christ for all sinners. His perfect patience for those who would believe in him for eternal life. So I was not confused about would believe in him, but does that mean that he decided before anybody believed in him that he would be their sacrifice? Did Christ make the first move knowing that some would believe in him? Now for that other reference from Luke 10, 1 through 17 is the story, but we're not going to go through the whole thing. You can review that story, Luke 10, 1 through 17, on your own if you want. But I don't want to do all of that just for time's sake. But I want to point out verses 10, 11, and 12 now. Luke 10, 10 through 12. And this was Jesus instructing the 70, if you read the whole story or when you read the whole story. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city which clings to our feet, we will wipe off in protest against you. Be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city or this city. That's pretty scathing, don't you think? Those are instructions that Jesus gave to the 70. He got them all in a circle, I'm guessing, and told them all, this is what you do, this is where you're going to go, and this is how you're going to act. He gave them instructions to the 70, and it seems like maybe patience was in the back seat of that car. It wasn't a foremost in front thing. So you have to read the whole account and find your answer. How is tolerance or patience for the world or for the rest of those people that are not in the church? You can find that out. But one thing is for sure, Galatians 6 is clear about, and that is, so that one, this is also Paul, so that when we have the opportunity, let us do all good to all people. So that's the whole world. We need to be doing good to the whole world. Our patience for them, I'm not sure, but we need to be doing good to everybody, and especially to those who are in the household of faith. So it does point out that we need a special relationship for those that are in the church. How are we like Olivia, freaking out when we are interrupted? She was interrupted by drying time in her art project. Maybe we can all work on our patience for others when the driver ahead of us doesn't know what a turn lane is. Does that test our patience? Is that something we need to work on? Show some patience. Or maybe someone at work is hard to deal with. You just can't deal with them. We need to show some patience. Maybe you would go to the DMV and your number is 76 and they're on number 7. Maybe you would just go another day, give the number back, show some patience. Or maybe the person ahead of us in the checkout line has decided that the checker is their long-lost friend, and you're in a hurry. What? Where did that come from? Show some patience. Or maybe you pull in and Culver's parking lot is full. What's our plan B? Or are we going to have the patience to wait it out? I don't think we always have to sit on the ground for 7 days without speaking to show that we're patient. But I think all of us can exhibit that we do have some patience. And by the way, Olivia's painting turned out fine. Let's close with song number 247. I'll stand as we sing this one. 247.